Hello, I'm Caleb Howard, and this is Tales from Sacred Texts. The world is built on stories. From the beginning of time, humans have immersed themselves in legends and myth. When God himself wanted to explain to us what he was like, he didn't push elaborate treatises, but instead told stories about humanity. In this podcast, I tackle the concept of religion through stories and legends. Told through a 21st century lens, I explain to religious and non-religious people alike the stories that lie at the very heart of the belief that maybe there is a God, and maybe he really is good. Today, I'm going to start and finish another book of the Bible. In my very first trailer, I teased the story of Jonah. Now, 3 years later, I'm finally going to tell the story of the unstable prophet who got eaten by a fish and got angry at a plant. This story, very fittingly, is coming right after my Balaam episode, another story about a prophet who is a pretty terrible man and has a lot of issues with animals. Unlike the story of Balaam, though, we have very little context for the story of Jonah. Another book of the Bible briefly places Jonah as a prophet in the time of Jeroboam II. Jeroboam didn't listen to God, and we can conjecture that Jonah was tired and jaded, having prophesied extensively in front of a man who refused to listen. Beyond mere conjecture, though, we know little about Jonah. The book of Jonah is a short, parable-style story written from the perspective of a third party who seems relatively disappointed with Jonah. The story ends with a rhetorical question from God without a resolution. The story of Jonah, similar to that of Balaam, criticizes a prophet who has gone bad and has little care for anyone anymore besides himself. The main difference is how the two stories end. Having set the stage as best as I can, and not wanting to lay on any more spoilers, we'll get into the story. Nineveh? Jonah spluttered. I can't go there. They spank people with belts there. That's the image I had as a child when my parents told me Jonah refused to go to Nineveh because they did very cruel things to people there. As I've grown up, I've learned that people can do much worse things to their fellow humans than spanking them with belts. The Guardian labels ancient art from Nineveh, depicting the way they treated people, as some of the most appalling images ever created, and I'll leave it at that. But basically, there were very good reasons that no one wanted to go to Nineveh. As I said, no one wanted to go in general. Jonah had an added reason for not wanting to go, because God was sending him there to tell the people of Nineveh that they were murderous psychopaths. Yeah, Jonah was not going. Jonah went the extra mile, or more accurately, the approximately 2,333 extra miles, by booking a ship to Tarshish. Tarshish is now known as Seville, Spain, and more importantly was the complete opposite direction of Nineveh, where they spanked people with belts and did other worse things. Jonah got on the ship and clenched his fist in victory. He was escaping God. He was until he wasn't. That night, the ship hit a storm rather suddenly, and it was a bad one. The storm got worse and worse, and the sailors began to panic. They started the whole ancient world trope of going from person to person and asking them who their gods were and could they try them for help, please? At some point, they found Jonah among the cargo, sleeping, and they chewed him out. They were about to die, and Jonah wasn't doing his duty at all. Maybe he didn't know how these things worked, but what he had to do here was pray to his god and see if maybe the god would spare them. They'd tried Poseidon and Dagon and Mamiwata and Yam, and somebody even served Mazu. This was an international voyage, and there were a lot of different gods, but apparently none of them either cared or were powerful. Who did Jonah serve? Hopefully not any of the gods the sailors had just mentioned, so that they could get one more shot in at potentially saving their lives. No, they hadn't done his yet. His was Yahweh. The sailors began to shudder. They'd heard of Yahweh's power, and they really did not want to mess with that. The whole situation got way worse when the sailors called on their gods to control the outcome and then rolled dice to determine whose fault it was that they were caught in the middle of this once-in-a-century storm. Because the dice were clear. Jonah was at fault. The sailors were good, blue-collar guys who understood humanity and had compassion, and so, surprisingly, throw Jonah into the water was like at the very bottom of their list for solutions to this whole problem. Even after Jonah begged them to throw him into the water to appease Yahweh, the sailors put in a Herculean effort to save their own lives without sacrificing Jonah's. But it was all to no avail, and the storm got even worse. After repeated pleading from Jonah, who was at least a good enough guy that he didn't want to take an entire ship full of innocent, good men down with him, the sailors finally gave in to Jonah's repeated demands. They would throw him into the water. The men gathered around and did their best attempt at burning incense to Yahweh. A very bad attempt, seeing as it was pouring rain so hard that no one could even see, let alone light a stick of incense. But they did manage to pray to Yahweh and beg his forgiveness for killing Jonah, saying they had literally tried their best to save his life, and God was clearly forcing their hand. They then took Jonah and tossed him into the water. It wasn't hard, because Jonah wasn't fighting them at all. He knew that he had caused this trouble himself. The moment Jonah's body touched the water, the storm stopped and the sky cleared. The sun began to shine again and the sailors were in awe. From that time on, they served only Yahweh. This time they actually burned incense to Yahweh, offered sacrifices to him, and promised to serve only him. Meanwhile, Jonah was sinking. Down, down, down. He could barely breathe and he knew his life was over. He prayed for forgiveness for running away from God. And just then, Jonah's field of vision was obscured by a dark form. A cavernous maw opened around him, and the emerald green of the sea became black. The stench was unbearable. The stench. Jonah realized that he could breathe again. Over the next 3 days, Jonah prayed. He praised God for saving him from certain drowning and begged for another chance. He had deserved to drown, but God had been merciful. If God let him out of the whale's stomach, Jonah would travel to Nineveh. That's what happened. Jonah woke up in a pile of whale vomit on the beach, which is pretty gross, but after being trapped in an animal's stomach for 3 days, he was pretty thankful just to have gotten out. Jonah decided that, after being trapped in a whale's stomach, Nineveh wasn't all that bad. I'm not exactly sure where the whale vomited him out, but wherever it was, Jonah went and bought tickets to Nineveh. I'm slightly skeptical of his decision, though. I mean, I've never been trapped in a whale's stomach, but I just think it's disputable that dying in an animal's stomach is worse than being tortured in horrific ways. I guess it just depends on who you ask. And we'll find out what happens to Jonah when he heads to Nineveh, but that will be right after this. Nineveh was huge. And by huge, I mean that it took 3 days for Jonah to walk from one end of Nineveh to the other. But Jonah didn't mind because he made it through. He screamed, 40 days and this city will be destroyed, as he walked from one end of the city to the other. But he was not assaulted, captured, or tortured. Instead, the people actually seemed to listen to him. He watched as the people, from the slaves to the lords, tore their clothes and put on garments of mourning. When he reached the royal palace on the third day, terrified that the king would sentence him to some horrifying fate, the king bowed down and started taking off his clothes. Jonah didn't want to see that, so he looked away, but then he saw the king striding past him wearing ritual garments of mourning. The king stepped into the street and sat in the mud and animal feces. Jonah, really trying to avoid getting caught and maybe tortured, slipped quietly away, but within hours he heard the king's messenger shouting a royal proclamation throughout the city. The king of Nineveh had proclaimed a sacred fast. No one was to eat or drink anything. They were all to wear clothes of ritual mourning. They were to stop being evil and violent. They all knew what they were doing wrong. The king himself had resolved to give up his evil and violent ways, and his subjects should as well. The king commanded his subjects to all sit and beg God for forgiveness. Maybe, he hoped, God would see their repentance and not destroy the city. Well, God did. He saw the nearly universal change in the people of Nineveh. He saw how they tried to serve God and gave up their evil ways, and God vowed that he would no longer destroy the city. Everyone was happy with this. The king, the people of the city, God. All but one person. Jonah. Jonah tried speaking with God. He was exasperated. He claimed that he had told God when he was still at home that God was too soft. He didn't want to go to Nineveh because he would be humiliated. God was making a big show about how he wanted to destroy the city full of evil people, but Jonah had known from the beginning that God would never follow through with it. God was too merciful. God told Jonah that it was very convenient he was making this excuse up now, and that they both knew Jonah hadn't gone because he was scared. Jonah acknowledged that, yeah, that may have been a part of it, but he was also unhappy with being humiliated. Jonah sighed. Could God just kill him? Right now. Put him out of his misery. This was ridiculous, Jonah rolled his eyes. He was sick and tired of God's mercy and just wanted to die. What? Jonah was making a fool of himself. What kind of a person was he, anyway? Hadn't he received God's mercy just a couple days ago? Did he want to watch over 100,000 men, women, and children die? Shouldn't he be thankful that they had changed their ways and that God was sparing their lives? Jonah snorted. These people? God was keeping them alive so that they could cause a lot more trouble for a lot of good people. God really should have finished them off. When they were crying to God for mercy, that wasn't who he was. God put himself in the place of these people. While they had done all sorts of evil things, many of them had lived that way because they were struggling to make it through life. They were feeling empty and looking for a better way. While their actions were certainly wrong, their hearts were good. They were stumbling through life, trying to numb the pain. There was so much hope for these people. The words that Jonah had spoken, telling the people precisely why the city was to be destroyed, had galvanized many of them to seek a better way. They saw in his words a God who cared, who wasn't just going to relegate them to destruction, but a God who wanted them to become better. Jonah rolled his eyes. God, am I right? Way too kind. Instead of going back home, or anywhere, or doing anything else, Jonah made a rudimentary shelter outside the city, hoping that if he waited long enough, he'd get to watch the city get destroyed anyway. He just wanted to watch everyone burn to death. Pretty gross. He literally just camped out, just waiting for something bad to happen to the people of Nineveh. God figured that he'd teach Jonah a lesson. He planted a leafy vine next to Jonah's shelter that grew rapidly, providing thick shade for Jonah by the end of the morning. Jonah basked in the cool air. Now he could watch the city burn in comfort. But the next morning, Jonah looked up and the plant was withered and brown. The next day was extremely hot, too, and the heat was brutal. Jonah felt like he was going to die. He would have gotten up and stomped around, but he was just too hot. Far too hot. So he decided to shout at God. I wish I were dead, Jonah said. You've said this like twice in 2 days. Do you maybe need some therapy? God asked. Jonah did not want therapy. He wanted another plant. He was furious about his plant. He was angry at his plant. His plant had betrayed him when he needed it the most. God rolled his eyes and asked Jonah if he knew how he sounded. Did Jonah even have a right to be angry about the plant? Jonah had a right to be angry. Very angry. Jonah was so angry he wished he was dead. More wishes for death. God was concerned. Jonah, you really need some therapy. But he continued. Why was Jonah so angry about the plant? It was a plant that literally lived for less than a day. Jonah hadn't even put any effort into the plant. He hadn't planted it, hadn't watered it, just merely enjoyed its transient shade. It was a wild plant that had just shown up, and Jonah cared so much for that plant. But he had no sympathy for a city of 120,000 men, women, and children who were just trying to figure things out. Many of those people were ignorant of the right way to live life and were just struggling. Besides the people, the city was full of innocent animals. Shouldn't Jonah care for them? Shouldn't God? The book of Jonah ends abruptly with this question. I see the ending of the book of Jonah as a rhetorical device that gets us to ask ourselves the same question. So often we get caught up in our own pettiness, selfishness, and desire to look smart and powerful, like Jonah. When we convince ourselves that we are God's chosen ones, we resent his mercy on the people who don't do things as well as we do, at least according to our perspective. We question God's forgiveness and beg him to take swift, brutal action to show everyone that we are right and they are wrong. We see in the story of Jonah that this looks pretty ridiculous. There are plenty of good people in the world just trying to find their way. God loves those people and cares for them. By wanting God to humiliate our enemies, we forsake his ways and instead become shadows of the capricious gods we lambast as false. Any kind of sin can and will be forgiven. God forgave humankind for torturing his son to death, and the New Testament is replete with the theme that we should follow God's example and forgive each other. The Bible consistently tells us that God is ready to forgive us. And like Jonah, God repeatedly does. Shouldn't God's servants be equally willing to forgive each other? The question at the end of the book of Jonah reaches far beyond the ancient Hebrew kingdom to our hearts today. Plenty of people may be living in a way that we are uncomfortable with, struggling to make it through another day on this earth. Shouldn't we treat them with patience and forgiveness, rather than letting our words be full of judgment and hatred because we want to vindicate our own importance as God's messengers? I'll add a little bit about the part where Jonah runs from God. I feel like this topic has been worn out like a dog with a rag. Everyone who ever tells the story of Jonah says, Jonah tried to run from God. Don't try to run from God. But I'm going to say something quite different. Jonah was a guy who got a little bit scared, understandably so. God asked him to do something terrifying. How many of us would have gotten on a ship and gone straight to China, Nazi Germany, or an island of cannibals if God had said to go tell them their kingdom would be destroyed in 40 days because of how evil they were? Jonah was a normal guy with normal reactions. He was one of us. Moreover, Jonah did the right thing. He accepted responsibility. When the storm hit the boat, he told everyone that it was his fault and to throw him overboard to stop the storm. How many of us would have told the flight attendant to just throw us out of the plane? And finally, when Jonah ended up in the whale's belly, he prayed to God and apologized for being so stupid as to think he could run away from him. I know there's the whole no atheists in foxholes argument, but Jonah proves that he's serious about the whole thing because when he gets out of the whale's belly, he immediately heads to Nineveh. Jonah did what God asked, even if he got a little scared along the way. But, as I said, how many of us would have been as brave as Jonah? How many of us would have gone to the island of the cannibals at all, knowing full well we'd probably be killed and eaten? Jonah's issue may have been that, despite his moment of fear, he felt superior, like he'd done such a great thing for God that he deserved God to take action to vindicate how important of a prophet he was. So I'd add the takeaway that mistakes in moments of fear, even if they're big mistakes, don't change God's reliance on us nor impact our standing with God. When Jonah gets out of the whale's belly, God doesn't chastise him, merely sends him back on his way, giving him a second chance. But I'd emphasize, once again coming back around to the first point that I made, we should not let the good things we do lead us to a feeling of entitlement that does not care for the life or well-being of those around us, simply because we want to prove that we are right. Such a mentality can lead us to promote man-made rules or very unchristian values to prove that we are part of a holy group. We promote standards that are not in the Bible to make added barriers to accepting the gospel because we want to prove that we are right and they are wrong. As a very quick side note, Jonah's attitude can become widespread among missionaries. People who, like Jonah, travel to other countries to spread God's word are often following his express command. But sometimes they get so caught up in vindicating their own lifestyle that they attempt to enforce Western cultural norms on people, not teach them the story of Jesus. That's something to watch out for. That's all for this week. Next week, we'll be doing a unique combination of stories. We'll be starting with the story of the Nehushtan, a statue with healing powers, and we'll be finishing with a tale of a boy possessed by a demon. I promise there's a strong connection between the two. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate your continued patronage of my podcast. Please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, especially Spotify. We need more reviews so that Spotify starts showing their rating when people discover my podcast for the first time. Also, on Spotify, there's some pretty amazing artwork that doesn't show up on the other apps. Finally, please share my podcast with a friend. That's the biggest thing you can do to help me out, and I greatly appreciate it. Have a wonderful weekend. Credits to myself, Caleb Howard, for script writing and theme music. Credits to various music artists, including Evoke Music, for the royalty-free music. Again, thank you so much, and have an amazing weekend.